It is Philippians chapter 3, verses 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. And you know that we customarily stand, so I'd ask you to stand while I read these verses in your hearing, and we honor God, reverence Him by giving Him our undivided attention. We listen to His word. Beginning at verse 7. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Verse 10. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and may share in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Amen. Lord, we thank You that You have made a way for us to be together now. Thank You for everything You've done to provide, to protect, to lead, to counsel, to reprove, to correct us, everything necessary to bring us to this place at this time. Yes. Now we open the scriptures before our eyes as our hearts are open before Yours. Meet us now in the Word of God for Your glory, for the good of our own souls and the progress of the kingdom. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you, and you may be seated. Our subject for today is living 2020 without regrets. Living 2020 without regrets. Now I want you to think with me for a minute as we begin our time together. The Christian life and the Christian experience begins with joy. You don't have to think hard to remember back when God first saved you, right? It's the joy that comes when you finally know the weight of sin is gone, the slavery of sin is gone, when you finally know that you're no longer under the cloud of guilt, right? The joy that came when you know you had that right relationship with Christ, when you know that what He said about you is true, when you know that your eyes are open now, you read the Bible and it speaks to you. You remember that joy? The joy that comes just to be able to tell someone else that I've been saved.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And saved. But not only does the Christian life begin with joy, sometimes we need to be reminded of the joy in Jesus. Because as we live along, we have some lot more life experiences. Life experiences begin to erode. We allow it to erode.
Yeah.
And so we have to remind ourselves of what really is, not just what appears to be, for we live by faith and not by sight. And so we have to remind ourselves, and God does that through the scriptures, right? David had to speak to his soul, bless the Lord, what? Oh, my soul, you see? And so we have to do that. And so you see verse 1 here of Philippians 3, look at how Paul begins to bring this reminder. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. You see that? Paul says, I have no problem reminding you that you need to rejoice. And I say that to all of us. Anybody that's raised children, you know that if you can't be a parent if you don't plan to repeat things.
Amen.
Oh, you won't be a good parent, let me say. Repetition is how we learn. Yes? And so Paul says to the believers there in Philippi, and he says to you and me that we need to be reminded of this joy. Mm. Reminded of the joy in Jesus. And then in verse 3, what I see there is he says that Christians also need to be reminded of the essentials of the faith. Mm. For we who are the circumcision worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Amen. We need to be reminded of that as we head into 2020. These are the essentials of the faith. We worship by the Spirit of God, right? We worship in faith. We don't come here because we live such a wonderful week. We don't come here because we've got so much wonderful that we bring to the table, so much that's wonderful. Yes? We come because God is wonderful, because God is good. We come to worship Him in spirit, right? And so in 2020, we just need to keep these essentials before us. We didn't come here for God to give us a new car and a new house and everything you want, you see? We got to keep the essentials of it. Who would want to come to worship just to get a new car? I mean, what kind of foolishness is that? But that's what's happening all around the country, around the world. Worship has become getting something. Temporal. Do you understand? Amen. So the essentials, we need to be reminded of the essentials. And I just want to do that for you as we begin 2020. Keep your, it's like a coach that sees when he sees the team beginning to wane, right? A good coach knows, I got to get them back to the fundamentals. Call timeout, right? Amen. We got to huff because they're missing it. And so God says to you and me, as you move down through 2019, you begin to forget to play. So we have to call huddles occasionally. And it's going to happen in 2020. But we want to start off right and realize, know what a huddle is. That's the reason we don't want to neglect coming together. Amen. We need to huddle.
Yes.
All right.
Life is challenging and testing. We've got an enemy who'd love to get you off the place. Love to get you running and all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. Chasing this thing and that thing, you see. Not keeping the team moving forward. You see? That's what we've got to remember in 2020. This is about the team.
Yes.
All right.
We don't need any superstars. Think of how much trouble teams get in by placing all their hopes in one or two players. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Amen.
We've seen it all the time. And God says, my family's not like that. And so we have to come back to the essentials. But he also says that you need to be reminded of the dangers, right? So the dangers are there. You see verse 2? Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. Drop down to verse 4. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. You see? So be aware that you start putting your confidence in who you are and what you've done, and you start bringing that. You see that all your confidence is resting in your good name and your this and your that, and you start resting on your 401k, and look at what's happening. You're counting on the... And I say this to the young people. Before I retired in 2001, they were already telling young people, you need to plan for your own retirement. Mm-hmm. We live in a world filled with greed. Mm-hmm. People who have their fingers in these 401 plans and anything they can get in, they're skimming. Yep. Mm-hmm. And so I said to all of you young people, I'm not trying to discourage you, but just be mindful of the fact that you have to be accountable. You can't expect someone to always take care of you. Mm-hmm. Yes? Mm-hmm. I just want to remind the young people about that. Our two sons came up in an environment where they know nothing like the life that I grew up in. Nothing. But I have to remind them of where they came from.
Yes.
All of us need to stay grounded.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen if this economy flops and you don't know what to change? We don't know how to change a lug on a tire. Mm-hmm. So what's going to happen when you don't have money to call the repair? Mm-hmm. You understand?
Yes. We need to be reminded of where we, things have advanced, but you got to get back to the what? To the basics.
Yes.
You need to know how to live if you don't have the job you have now. Can you live?
Yes.
See, when I was raised, I'm getting, I'm just going to do, I was raised and my dad taught me how to work. So you see, I'm not afraid of unemployment because I can work.
Amen. Yes.
Please, young people, don't go around saying there are no jobs. That's not true.
That's right.
Plenty of jobs. Yeah. The issue is, do you want to what?
Work.
That's right.
Yes?
Uh-huh.
That's the same for us. You understand? And so, just beware of the dangers. You see, the dangers that come to attack the faith also come to attack your what? Your job.
Yes.
My job is a direct result of my what? My faith. Yes? So keep that in mind. Don't just minimize folks that's attacking the faith and think that won't get to you. Yeah, it does.
Beware of the dangers.
And then, so as we kind of begin this whole thing, I want you to see that I believe that Christians need to be reminded of what it means to have a meaningful life in Christ in 2020. What is that going to mean for you? We want to start off, right? Let's just start off knowing what it means to have a meaningful life, because we know along the way we're going to what? Need to be reminded. And I said we, I didn't say you. I need to remind you just like you do. That's the reason I need to come together with you. We remind what? Each other. Okay. So this is how we're going to approach it in these verses right here. By the way, that's 7 through 11 if you remember. We're going to approach it this way. We're going to look at, first of all, remembering what you lost for Christ. You need to remember that in 2020. Because it's so challenging when you're moving along and you want to start to go pick up what you lost. Mm-hmm. Right? I need to remember I left that.
Amen.
Amen.
I lost it. It was lost for Christ. It was no good for me. I knew that when I was saved, that it's no good. But along the way, I start thinking, you see, about going back and picking up what I left. You understand? Remember what I lost. And then we're going to talk about remembering what you gained.
All
right. That'll keep me focused in 2020. If I remember the stuff that I left behind, I'll get to that next week because he goes on to talk about that. You got to learn how to deal with what you left behind. So that you can what? Move forward. You can't carry everything with you.
That's right.
In the 2020. That's some stuff you got to leave in 2019. Now that's the thing you need to carry with you. You understand what I'm saying? But I need to know what needs to be left behind.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes. So remembering what you lost for Christ and remembering what you gain in Him.
All right. So look at how Paul addresses this issue. He's showing, when he talks about remembering what you lost for Christ, he starts out by saying that you need to remember how confident you were in worldly things, and particularly in your worldly identity. Before you came to Christ, before anyone comes to Christ, their identity is with someone or something other than the true and living God. And I worded it that way specifically because people can be associated with spiritual things. Idolatry. I mean, you think about all of the people in false religion. So it's not just your identity associated with something natural. There are many people associated with false religions, and that's their identity. Okay? So before Christ, everyone's identity is with someone or something other than the true and living God. For example, I'll just give you some examples. Some people live on their family's name. Particularly the folks that were raised up in the church. You live on your grandfather's name, or your grandmother, or this thing, or your father was a this or that, you see? On their reputation, you see? That's what we hung on to before Christ. Because we needed something that would exalt us, that would keep us built up. right? Or your status in life. You see? Your education, where you went to school. It's amazing thing. I come to St. Louis. And it's just a weird thing here. I shouldn't say here. I don't know where. I'm only from Arkansas, so I ain't traveling a lot. But I come to St. Louis, and you meet someone, and they want to know what school you go to. So, man, or I'm some of y'all got all these schools. My name's Willie. You're telling me where you went to school. I don't even know what Soul Man is. But you see, that was the thing. Is that I introduced myself to you, and you're talking about where you went to school.
Right. Now,
it's kind of humorous, but you see, we needed something to identify with before Christ. And you always got something. I mean, that may be humorous to you right there, but you always got something. Your profession. My name is so and so, and I'm a doctor. Why is that important?
Right.
Or I'm a this. Or I'm a, you see, our profession. Our income. Where we live. Right? Or what kind of, and we don't say this, but love to drive up when folks are outside. Right? Now we don't think about these things, but this is all identity for us. Before Christ, we love to roll in the pot and leave. So folks can, I got an identity. This is me. This is what, you see? Now, we're just being honest as we talk about these. This is our life before Christ.
Yeah.
You identified, you had a worldly identity. Now, you know, I'm just doing a little picking here and there. There's a whole plethora of things. And I've already mentioned to you that false religions, false teachers. Love your false teacher that could keep you in your sin, that could let you do your sin and feel good about it. So, confidence in worldly identity. So, you see how Paul says it there? Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of Hebrew. You see all those kind of things? That's his worldly identity. It's his worldly identity. No longer Jew nor Greek. That's not... denying your race. This is saying you shouldn't exalt it. That issue is not important. It's not that relevant in the kingdom of God. You don't deny your race. But you see, if it is, if anything, let me show you the semantics here. Am I a black Christian? Or am I a Christian who is black?
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Now, I don't need to deny my ethnicity. I just like people are trying to wipe out the genders. Am I a male Christian or am I a Christian who is male? The Christian, and I'm moving ahead to it too far, but what I want you to see is that identity, Paul is saying, this is how I label my, I was a Hebrew. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. That's who I was associated with. I was associated with the upper crust of the Hebrews, of the Jews. And we didn't mess around with dogs, with Gentiles. You see that? My race is superior to any other race. You see the point? And so those identities, we've got to guard against that. That was before Christ, when I exalted my race, and my this and my that. That's the reason you don't hear us. I don't refer to us as a black church. What is a black church?
Right.
We're a church who, the predominance of our congregation happen to be black people. But you see the difference. We're a church first. Mm-hmm. A Christian church.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Amen.
And so none of that has to, that simply says that race doesn't take the primary place. You understand? That was before. That was before Christ. You'll follow me? So then there was a confidence in worldly identity. And then I see in the rest of 5 and 6 there's a confidence
and worldly accomplishment is what we lost as well. Look at the latter part of verse 5. Hebrew of Hebrews also as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Now, what is he talking about there? All the things that he's done. He's talking about what he has accomplished. And so before Christ, our accomplishments brought such pride to us. Our accomplishments stirred arrogance up in us. Our accomplishments made us self-sufficient. You see? That's the way we used accomplishments before Christ. And so the same thing. What our family has accomplished. Your family had a business, or your family did this or something. You see? That's an accomplishment. So I took pride in that. Now I'm talking about self-centered pride. Self-centered pride. Hopefully you don't understand what I'm saying. Or education. Education became my label. Or that's my accomplishment. I went to college. I got this degree. I got the advanced degree. I went to this school or that school. Which set me apart from what? You. Set me apart from this one. See? My confidence were in my worldly accomplishments. I made these wonderful investments. That's the reason I'm doing so well right now. I know how to follow stocks. I know how to do this. I read the charts. So that establishes me. And all of these kinds of things were the confidence before was in our worldly identity and our worldly accomplishments. But you got to remember, those are the things that you lost when you came to Christ. Mm-hmm. Don't go back now and pick those up. In 2020, remember, any fallback or reliance on the old identity. And remember what I'm saying. You don't need to deny who you are or what you've accomplished. Just don't rely upon it. You no longer rely upon that to be your identity. You don't rely upon that to separate, to distinguish you from everyone else. Any reliance upon that will not benefit the Christian. That's a dead man's identity, and those are dead man's accomplishments. I want to show you something. Galatians, I believe it's 2. Listen, Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen.
Amen.
I was crucified with Christ. And so all of those things, those are a dead man's identity and a dead man's accomplishments. Because using them to make me, give me some status in life, or to use them to make me, try to make me better than others toward God, you see, that's what makes them the dead. That was the dead man's way of functioning. I left that behind. That man died when I came to Christ. You understand? Now, that doesn't deny your education. That doesn't deny your race. That doesn't deny, you understand? That doesn't deny your gender. That doesn't deny your income. None of that. It just simply says, I've learned to seek what? His kingdom. His righteousness what?
First.
Get it? Mm-hmm. And so, I got to remember that in 2020. Because I assure you, we're going to have some challenges in 2020. And you're going to be tempted to go back to some of the old ways. I promise you. And if you try to handle this on your own, you won't. God did not design the Christian to function on his own.
Amen.
And like most of us, and I'm just speaking candid, most of us want to get it together before we get around another Christian. He didn't design Christians to get it all together before you get together.
That's right.
Yeah? Someone's description of the church I thought was very appropriate. So the Christian is a hospital. The church is a hospital. Yes. The church is a hospital. So you don't come here because you got it all together. You come here because you need what?
No.
We all do. Yes?
Yes.
We all do.
Yes.
And so we need help because these things
are real issues for all of us. We all need, I need you to remind me, and I need to remind you that there are some things that you need to leave alone. Don't start thinking that way. See, y'all didn't know me before I was saved. You didn't know my tongue. I tell most of y'all, just because I seem mild mannered, you don't know. And so I thank God that He's given me the grace to leave that thing alone.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
But I need reminders. I need to be around like-minded people.
Yes.
Not around the folks like I used to hang. I'm not Superman. So I don't go to places I used to go. You're not Superwoman. Yes?
Amen.
Remember. Thinking you can just hang. I ain't gonna mess with none of that stuff I used to do. Well, where'd you get that from? As a matter of fact, it's an amazing thing. Before I was saved, I thought I was so cool. But it's like I was a dead man walking. I'm like a stump. Everywhere I stepped, I left stank. Everywhere. And you were too.
Yes.
No matter how much cologne you put on, see, my generation, I was telling somebody, me and we had a little, I remember when my mother bought me my first little bottle of JD's. You ever heard of
JD's?
But I'll tell you, no matter how much JD's or whatever you put, you still stand. As a sinner, everywhere you go, you leave the stand.
Yeah.
And see, the problem is over here on the left, you forgot that stand.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. You got to remember how stinky that was over there.
Yeah.
Because you forget. And you get tempted. I can cuss just like you. Yes, I can. But I don't. I choose not to.
Amen.
That's the way I used to.
Yes.
You see? All right, you can just pick at me. You see? So you gotta know what you lost.
Amen.
And
yes.
Let it stay there.
Yes.
In 2020. And we need each other. Yes?
Amen.
Yes.
So remember what you lost, and then I want to talk just briefly about what you gained. So now our confidence is no longer in the worldly identity and the worldly accomplishments. Our confidence now is in the Christian, in our Christian identity. What do you mean by that, Brother William? Everything changes when you become a Christian. If anyone is in Christ, he's what? A new creation. Everything changes. See, God made me new on the outside. And for some of us, He takes away immediately some of the things. Right away, God went after my nasty mouth and all those vulgar albums and the liquor and everything that I had in my house. You see, He went after that right away, but He didn't peel the onion all the way back. Right? I'm thankful that He didn't show me everything. Now, when He saved me, He showed me how I was an awful sinner.
Yeah.
But sanctification peels the onion back little by little.
Yes.
And so when He saved me, He showed me the things that I had to give up right away. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that was for you. But you gotta remember that being born again, see, this is not like signing a card, bowing your head, and saying a prayer. This is real. Miraculous conversion.
Yes.
I like the word that the reformer used to use. I've been converted.
Yes.
I'm changed.
Yes.
I am not the man that I was before I was 28 years old.
Yes.
And if you're a true convert, you're not either. You're not the man or the woman that you were. Now there's still work going on, but I'm not what I used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yes? And so everything changes when you become a Christian. Don't let anybody talk you out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Your goals change. Your desires change.
Yeah.
I had to have a new car every year. I had to park it away from everybody. I told you about all those kind of things. Don't touch my stuff. Nobody. Now, you see? But that, when it changes on the inside, yeah, it changes your goals.
Yeah.
Changes your desires. After I was saved, my company said they're going to fire me because I wouldn't move to San Antonio. That was no threat. God gave me no peace about moving, so I guess I'm going to have to be fired. Now, before salvation, I need this money. Mm-hmm. I need this job. They're promising, you see, they're making those promises. If you move, your job's there, your career. But when you come to Christ, that's not my first priority.
Yeah.
That's changed. Mm-hmm. The question you need to think about this for 2020. That's the thing going to go down in 2020 that's going to test you. Mm-hmm. Where's your identity now?
Yeah.
Is it with the old or with the new? Yes? Mm-hmm. And so we see Paul begin to show us here that as a Christian, Christ becomes our identity. No one or nothing compares to a right relationship with Christ.
Amen.
Nothing compares to that. You see how he says it in verse 8? Let me get back over it. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Isn't that amazing? Nothing compares. Nothing compares to knowing Christ, to knowing Him personally, to having a real and a right relationship with Him, to having a reconciled relationship with Christ. I'm no longer hiding from Him. I don't need to stay high all the time. I don't need to, some things shouldn't even be said, so I don't even talk about all, some of my old life. But I don't need to do that anymore, because I've been brought into life. I'm at peace with God. If any man is in Christ, he's a what? New creation, and therefore those who have been justified by faith are now what? At peace. At peace with God. When you've been justified by faith, you can be at peace with God. You don't need to run from Him anymore. I can talk to you about what I used to do and know that I've been forgiven. I don't brag on it anymore. But I don't walk around with the guilt of it. Why? Because I've been forgiven.
Amen.
Yes?
Amen.
See, that's new. This is a new life. This is a new identity. Why? Because I got a right relationship with Christ. Don't minimize that, Christian, in 2020. It's going to be so important when you surprise yourself with some of your thoughts, some of your words of action. You need to remember where your identity is. Your identity isn't in how well you can control yourself. Now, I'm not trying to justify anybody in their sin. But my salvation does not rest on me not ever committing a sin. You understand?
Amen.
My identity is Christ.
Yes.
He lived the perfect life for me.
Yes.
Now, I want to love Him and serve Him all the days of my life, but I know I will not arrive in this life.
Amen. Amen.
And so even when I fail, He's still my identity.
Yes.
Not me. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be so important in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's stuff in every one of us that hadn't surfaced yet.
Mm-hmm.
Even when you think you've dealt with it, and I'm sure most of us have dealt with some things. But there's stuff inside, because nobody's perfect. There's stuff inside each one. You need to be prepared to handle that in 2020 and not resort back. Yes? So this surpassing worth of knowing Christ is it's an amazing thing to have this level of confidence. You remember how Paul in 1 Corinthians 6, do you not know that your body is a what? Temple of the Holy Spirit. It goes on to say, you're no longer your own. You've been what? Bought with a price. Then you go on to say, you talk about the level of confidence in Romans 8. He said, I'm confident, I'm sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers are no things present, no things to come, no power, height, death, any other created thing shall what? Be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What did he say? I'm confident in this.
Yes.
How can you be confident? Well, it's because of Christ. My focus, my anger is on Christ.
Yes.
That's my hope.
Yes.
Nothing can separate me from his love. He's drawn me to him. He loved me so much that he lived perfectly for me. Mm-hmm. And then he died for me in my place. Mm-hmm. He died for me. He was resurrected to guarantee that nothing that he's done will ever be undone. Mm-hmm. When God has died for you, you are his elect child, you will never be separated from him.
Amen.
This is wonderful. Death, life, angels, principality. You see? He goes through a whole list of things before that. No kind of issue that you go through, no suffering, not no loss of a job, any, whatever is happening. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. That's my Christian identity. Yes? That'll be yours too. He said, I'm confident of this, as you wrote to Philippians, that he who began what? A good work in you will what? Complete it. You're going to do it. That's Christian confidence.
Yes.
You see what he said? I'm confident that he, the Lord, began a good work in you. He never starts anything he can't finish.
That's right.
And some of us know I started some projects. My little eyes are too ambitious. Right now, if I take you to my house, I got a washing machine tore up in the floor. I got the drum out of it. I got all the parts out and waiting on bearings to go in it. I got a refrigerator upstairs that don't work. Leaking water. It won't freeze. I got a freezer that went out last night. I got a whole lot of stuff. Okay? That's right. What about ice is when I got food on ice. But my eyes are on that.
Amen.
My eyes are on that. I want to tell you that because it's for you.
Yeah.
But you see, that ain't my fault. I didn't come here today for that to be my issue. For that,
that's
to,
right.
I didn't come to worship those things.
Yes.
Christ is my identity. But I'll never get another washing machine. I'll tell them Perry. I don't know how many of you. You get so far with washing machines. See, I grew up without them. But you forget. You forget how hard it is to wring out a pair of jeans. So we used to have all the, I don't know what y'all,
Yes.
But when you're little, I don't bring them no more.
Right.
So when the washing machine breaks down,
you got to bring it.
You ever run out of pair of jeans?
Yeah.
Or towels? Oh, my goodness. When they don't, when the cycle quit, now they land in water.
Little water.
You know, what was, I'm just saying it, but that's not my fault. Then I ain't gonna let that get to my joy. My
That's
joy ain't contingent on
right.
the washing machine.
Uh-huh.
If I have to wring out clothes the rest of my life, I'll do it. And if that's the Lord, if that's what the Lord has planned for me, people are doing it around the world right now.
Yeah.
The church is growing strongest in the areas where they don't have washing machines.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying? So we've got to be careful not to let this stuff over here become our identity again.
Yeah.
I'm not identified by a washing machine. Mm-hmm. Or anything else in my house. You understand? Mm-hmm. I got to remember that when stuff starts breaking down in 2020. My identity is not in that. And I'm saying it's going to be challenging.
No relationship with a parent, grandparent, other relative. No relationship with a friend, a preacher, a boss, a company, a co-worker, a ministry. No relationship with a school or a sports team or a teammate, neighborhoods. Or no relationship with a neighbor or some elite group. Nothing can compare to having a right relationship with Jesus.
Amen.
That's all I'm trying to say. To the surpassing worth of knowing Christ.
Yes.
We good?
Amen.
I know you said, well, why don't you move on, Willie? All right, I'm moving on. The last thing I want to mention then is not only confidence in Christian identity, but confidence in Christian accomplishments. Everything that made us feel superior, safe, and stable before Christ is unprofitable now. Now, listen to what I'm saying. When you, before Christ, you depended upon those to profit you, to make you somebody in society, to make you somebody, even when you come to church, those things made you somebody. Those things are unprofitable for us now. Because if I have to take the bus here, that's irrelevant to how I got here. I'm just thankful that I got here.
Amen.
That's because I used to come in this kind of vehicle or that vehicle. You see, transportation no longer defines me. That's not profitable for me in that sense. I don't depend upon what I drive or my mode of transportation. And so, you got verse 7. Go back to Philippians 3, 7. For whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends upon faith. Amen. And so, these things give us no advantage to a relationship with Christ. Regardless of what kind of mode of transportation you have no advantage over anybody else with a relationship with Christ. Regardless of how much income you have no advantage. That's what I mean by no profit. Those things do not profit you when it comes to a relationship with Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Thank God for that. We're all sure there's no prejudice with him. There's no preference with him based on what you had before. And I'm saying to you, you and I, we need to learn to think that way as well. So let's talk about these Christian goals as we think about what we've gained in Christ, and then we'll pull it all together. Paul mentions three things here in particular as Christian goals. You got to look at verse 8. The first thing he mentions is gaining Christ. You see that in verse 8? For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. You see that? The end of verse 8. Gaining Christ then is to be a goal. What does that mean? When you gain Christ, you actually become a Christian. He is gain. He is the gain. He becomes the identity. Well, not only is that, he says that a Christian goal is not only to gain Christ, but to be found in Christ. You see that in verse 9? That I may gain Christ in verse 9 and be found in him. You got it? Not having a righteousness of my own. So being found in Christ, what does that mean, Brother Willie? You need to not only know that you're saved right now, you need to know that you're going to be saved to the end. I want to be found in Christ the day when he cracks through the clouds, right? I want to be found in him, yes? So I gained Christ, I want to be found, I want to be. You see, to be found in him means points to the future. And then the last thing he mentions there is to know Christ. You see that in verse 10? That I may know him. Yes? And so, look at this. This is a clear goal for us in 2020. Clear Christian goals. Gain Christ. If you're not a Christian, you ought to make this day the day that you come to Christ. This is the day that you gain him for yourself. He becomes gain to you.
Yes.
He becomes higher, the most precious thing in your life.
Yes.
But then if you're not at that point to where you're moving along as you should, just keep your eyes, keep pushing forward. You've got to learn that you live so that you can be found in Christ. That's the safe place to be in the future. You want to be found in him. But then what do I do for now, Willie? You need to know him.
Yes.
Know him.
Yes.
You see? You gain him to start. You know him as you're living, and you be found in him at the end. You see how that
helps
all
yes,
the life?
Yes.
That's our goal.
Yeah.
That's our goal. Christ is the center of it. He's the focus of it. And we'll see this next week. The Bible talks about how to reach far to him. He's the goal. We got to learn how to do that in 2020. So next week we're going to talk about the things that are behind and the things that are ahead.
Got to learn how to deal with them both.
Yes.
Amen.
So I'm trying to whet your appetite a little bit with that today. And so knowing Christ then is summed up in verses 10 and 11. You there? Go back to verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Amen.
Amen.
And so that's basically what I mean with this statement. Knowing Christ involves the power to suffer for him until the end. That's essentially what these two verses say. You need to know Christ personally. You got to know him for yourself. I can tell you about my experiences, but that's not going to help you when things get hard for you. You got to know him for yourself. You got to know what is how you got to know the power of God working in you. You got to know that God can deliver you from temptations that you never thought you were strong enough to do on your own. You got to know, as I told you, God is the one that controls my tongue. I don't do that. I know how, left to myself, I know how I can be. But I know that the power of God can help you. I haven't cussed in 30 years.
Amen.
Now, I'm not bragging about that. I'm just saying that I'm telling you this is not a fairy tale.
That's right.
The Bible says you got to learn to make your body's instruments for his righteousness. Yes.
Yeah.
I had to learn that. I can't tell you the things I used to do with this mouth. But I'm thankful that God says, I'm going to use your mouth now for my purpose.
Yes.
Where these feet have been. I told you some of this awful. These hands have been. These eyes, things these eyes have looked upon. But you see, now I know the power of God to take an old lump of stinking lump of clay. And to call me a saint, to actually, as how was someone said it, it's an amazing thing that God can take a sinner, dip him in red blood, and bring him out as white as snow. Isn't it? Amazing thing. But we've been cleansed. The blood. Oh, this is Christian living. The blood has cleansed us.
Yes.
And so, you got to know Christ, know the power, so that when you have to suffer, you will have to suffer for righteousness' sake. If you're going to live the way we're talking about, you will suffer for righteousness' sake. But you've got to be able to do that until the end. That's what he's saying. The end may not be the return of Christ. Some of us are going to probably die before Christ returns. That's okay with me. It should be okay with you as well. Because I know, absent from the body, what?
Resurrection.
It didn't have to be the mass resurrection of everybody. For me, when I leave this life, I'm immediately in the Lord's presence.
Mm-hmm.
What is the evil? It's the greatest blessing there is, absent from the body. Present. Yes? And so, knowing Christ involves the power to suffer. Now, you notice, this is clear. Suffer for him.
Mm-hmm.
You got to make sure that you're suffering for righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Amen.
That's where you have the guarantee that he'll give you the power to the end. Well, God bless you. It's been so great for us to think about 2020 together. And so as we wrap this up, I want to say that in Christ, all things are new. Things are new for 2020. You're a new creation. You got new thinking, new words, new actions in 2020. You got new goals, new needs, new desires. You got a new future in 2020. So my exhortation is to you, do not yield to the temptation to fall back on your old ways. Your old ways of thinking, your old habits, your old reasoning and strategies. Don't yield to the temptation to fall back to your old ways of solving problems, your old ways of dealing with stress. Making excuses for a lack of prayer, excuses for a lack of Bible study, excuses for no family time, excuses for no fellowship with the saints, excuses for no ministry to saints, excuses for no evangelism to sinners, you see? Excuses for missing worship, excuses, excuses, excuses. Those are the old ways. Don't fall back on that when it gets hard. That's what I'm saying. 2020 needs to be moving forward. I don't fall back and make those old excuses, because that's all they are. They aren't reasons, they're excuses. That God, when God has called me to do something, He makes every provision for me to do it. Yes?
Yes.
Do not fall back on your old worldly identities and accomplishments. You were once dead to God and alive to sin. Don't miss my statement now. Before you were saved, you were dead to God and alive to sin. That's the description we have in Romans. Right? We all were once dead in our transgressions, right? In our iniquities. We were once dead to God and alive to sin. But as a Christian, I'm dead to sin and what? Alive to God. You get the difference? Don't miss my statement. You were once dead to God and alive to sin, but now you are dead to sin and alive to Christ Jesus. Let your boasting in 2020 be in the Lord. Who He is. Boast in who He is. Boast in what He has done for you. Let your boasting be about how blessed you are to know Christ and to be known by Him. Yes. Remember that your confidence in 2020 is in the Lord. His sinless life. His substitutionary death. It's in the Lord. It's in His glorious resurrection. In His present reign from heaven. Your boasting, your confidence is in His unfailing promises and His faithfulness. Now I want to tell you, many things are going to fail in 2020. Yeah. I thought about that a little bit this morning, particularly as my freezer was going out. Many things are going to fail in 2020. Your vision. Your hearing, your muscular system, your skeletal system, your digestive system, your nervous system, your investments, your employer, the government is going to fail. School systems may fail. Appliances, roof, career, ministry. Your friends may fail. Family members, church members. But Christ will never fail.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
In 2020 or any other year. Yes?
Amen.
Many things are going to fail, but not Christ. He cannot fail. He cannot lie. He cannot disappoint or error. 2020 is a great year to put all your trust, all of your confidence in the Lord. The surpassing worth of knowing Him. Make Christ your goal this year. Gain Him. Be found in Him. Know Him personally and experientially. Know Him with the power to endure everything, absolutely everything that God brings your way in 2020.
Yes. Yes.
He will give you the power to make it through. And if it's the Lord's will that we do this in 2021, you'll be able to look back. What's the old Andre song? Through it all.
Yeah.
I've learned. Trust you. You can do all things through Christ who, what? Strengthens you. Nothing is too hard or impossible with God. Start this year planning to be faithful to the Lord until the end. And you will live this year without regrets. That's really all that I wanted to say. It is possible to live 2020 without regrets. And if you're not a Christian, you can begin this year without regrets. If you're not a Christian, you could gain Christ today. If you're not a Christian, this could be the day, the greatest day of all of eternity for you. What a great joy it would be to start 2020 with you being found, with you coming to Christ, knowing that you're secure in Him, knowing that you've been reconciled to Him, knowing that you have a right relationship. And I tell you, never let your sin keep you away from Christ. Never let your youth keep you away from Him. Never let your, whatever, don't let those old excuses keep you away. Come to Christ. He's here to say. Well, I want to thank you for these few minutes that we had together. And I want to thank you that in this room you brought us all into this new year. And I want to thank you that our hope is anchored in you. Mm-hmm.
that you never would have brought us in if you didn't have plans for us. So enable us to live this year with faith and courage in the power of the Holy Spirit. Enable us to be faithful to you until the end. May it be so in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, God bless you.
And